by stones and cut by flints and stung by nettles and torn by briars, who limped and shivered and glared and growled, and whose teeth chattered in his head as he seized me by the chin.
"Oh, don't cut my throat, sir,"
I pleaded in terror.
"Pray don't do it, sir."
"Tell us your name," said the man. "Quick!"
"Pip, sir."
"Once more," said the man, staring at me. "Give it mouth."
"Pip, Pip, sir."
"Show us where you live," said the man. "Point out the place."
I pointed to where our village lay, on the flat inshore among the alder trees and pollards, a mile or more from the church. The man, after looking at me for a moment, turned me upside down and emptied my pockets. There was nothing in them but a piece of bread. When the church came to itself, for he was so sudden and strong that he made it go head over heels before me, and I saw the steeple under my feet. When the church came to itself, I say, I was seated on a high tombstone, trembling, while he ate the bread ravenously.
"You young dog," said the man, licking his lips. "What fat cheeks you got!"
I believe they were fat, though I was at that time undersized for my years and not strong.
"Darn me if I couldn't eat 'em,"
said the man, with a threatening shake of his head,
"and if I ain't half a mind to it."
I earnestly expressed my hope that he wouldn't, and held tighter to the tombstone on